That's what we need in here. We need the Spirit of God. We don't need the spirit of Jezebel. We don't need the spirit of division, chaos, calamity. We need the Spirit of God in this place. I believe you'd agree with me on that. We need the Spirit of God. It don't take long to run the Spirit off from a local body church. It don't take long to run Him off. Compromise will run Him out the back door. Coldness will run Him out the back door. Complacency will run Him out the back door. You'll come in and man, you won't even know that He's gone. But as your pastor, I believe we need the Spirit of God to sit down amongst us this morning. If you found your place in Zechariah chapter number 4, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Zechariah, woo, glory to God, hallelujah. Woo. Zechariah chapter number 4 and verse number 1. If you found your place, say amen. And I want to read this to you like we was in Detroit over there. I want to read it to you. I want you to see how the Bible reads, Brother Shea Taylor. How plain it reads. On a fifth grade level, it don't take an educated man. It don't take a book. It don't take a scholar to read this book. All you got to do is pick it up. You'll pick it up, it'll read you. Hello? Look, I want you to read this with me in Zechariah chapter number 4, verse number 1. Here's what Zechariah said. And the angel that talked with me came again. Man, he waked me up as a man that's waking out of a sleep. He said, I was asleep and the Spirit of God woke me up. Have you ever been woken up spiritually by the Spirit of God? Have you ever been woke up physically about 3 a.m. by the Spirit of God? And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I've looked and behold, I see a candlestick all of gold with a bowl up on the top of it and there's 7 lamps thereon and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof. I see 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bow and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, you don't know what these be? And I said, no, my Lord, I don't know. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but, here's what I want to preach on, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I pray this morning, Father, that you move in a mighty way. Lord, I'm in over my head this morning, Father. Lord, I'm just bringing what you gave to me. I don't understand it. I don't know all that's being said here, Father, but I'm trusting you to take it and take it from this old vessel of clay and stick it into somebody's heart this morning. Lord God, I pray this morning that the Holy Ghost, that it would do a mighty work in this place. Lord, I pray right now for the one that is lost. I pray right now for the one that's backslidden. I pray right now for the one that just needs a mighty touch. Lord, I pray this morning that you move in a mighty way. Lord, I pray when we leave this place, we can say that it's been nothing but good to be here this morning, Father. And if it's going to be good, it's going to be because you've been here, Father. It ain't going to be because of the singing. It ain't going to be because of the preaching this morning. It's going to be because the Spirit of God sat down amongst us in a mighty way. Father, I pray this morning that you set the captive free, that you set free what needs to be set free. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you, Father. Lord, I lift up no other name but the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for one more time to stand behind this sacred desk. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Lead somebody to you this morning, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. This morning as we come, the angel of the Lord, he awakened Zechariah awakening a man out of his sleep. And he spoke unto him. And when he woke him up, here's what he said. He said, what seest thou? He asked O Zechariah, he said, oh, what seest thou? And Zechariah said, I see a candlestick. I see a candlestick here. And I want you to know when he did that, he said, I see the presence of God. How that's what that means. That the presence of God was there. And it was going to be burning forever. And he said, I see 2 olive trees. I see 2 olives there. And what would be that? That would be the Holy Ghost of heaven. Pumping that oil in there that it would burn forever. Friends, this morning, if you've been saved, you got a fire burning inside of you. You didn't light that fire. You can't fan that fire. That fire only comes from heaven this morning. And the only thing that'll light that fire in your life, it'll be the Holy Ghost this morning. How can I get an amen? Hey, I say to you, here it was Zerubbabel and Joshua. He was talking about 2 men of God that was flaming that fire and flanning it like it should be fanned. This morning, I want to say to you that we need men of God that'll fan fan that fire, and it'll say, "But not by my strength, not by my mind, but by the power of God that it sets down amongst us." You say, "Preacher, what's going on here?" God wanted them to know it ain't nothing about you. It ain't nothing about me. It's all about Him this morning. Can I say to you this morning, there's only one bright and shining light, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, I thank you for this morning, what God is doing in this place. And when that Spirit come, He said, it's not by might, not by power, or how great we think we are, but it's by the Spirit of God that moves inside somebody. It's not our place, it's not my place, and it's not your place this morning to convince, convict, or convert the lazy, the lost, or the liberal. The Spirit of God is more than capable this morning to doing what needs to be done. Can I get an amen? Man, that Spirit of God, it'll move inside somebody. The Spirit of God is more than capable. We just need the abundance of God's Spirit in our life. You say, "Preacher, why do I need that?" It'll make you shine. You get the Spirit of God on you, it'll make you shine in a lost and dark world. This morning, I want to say to you, let's go back to Genesis chapter number 3, and I want to show you the Spirit of God, how it'll move in a person's life. Genesis chapter number 3, if you will, this morning, let's go back to Genesis 3 and look at the Spirit of God. You say, "Preacher, why are we going back to the book of Genesis?" Oh, we're going back to see where the Spirit of God has showed up on the scene. Hey, Adam and Eve had messed up, and they had sinned against God. They had messed up. You say, "Well, it's over. They deserve hell." And you'd be right. They did. But guess what? God didn't give up on them. Can I get an amen? Hey, you may have messed up this morning. You may have went to the right. You may have went to the left. You say, "Preacher, I don't know where I'm at this morning." I thank God that He knows right where you're at this morning. Look with me, if you will, in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Adam and Eve has done messed up. They've done sinned against God. They've done took of the forbidden fruit, and here they are. They done became naked, and they're out, and they're in the Garden of Eden, and they're trying to hide from God. And here's what the Bible says. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." It said that the voice of God was walking. It didn't say that God was walking. It said that the voice of God was walking. Do you know this morning how that the Spirit of God, that the voice of God, how that the Word of God, it'll walk all up and down your life. It'll walk all up and down your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit this morning. I don't know about you, but I thank God how that the Spirit of God can walk where no other man can. It can walk into my heart. It can walk in my life. It'll show me where I'm right, and it'll show me where I'm wrong this morning. The Spirit of God is what we need. Look in verse number 8. You say, "Preacher, why do we see God came to Adam and Eve when they messed up? Why it's not by might or strength, but it's by the Spirit of God." I say to you, number one, as we look in verse number 8, God came to them. The Spirit of God came because God was concerned about them. This morning, everybody under the sound of my voice, God is concerned about you. You say, "Preacher, nobody cares about me. Nobody's concerned about me. Nobody don't even know who I am. If I don't show up to church on Sunday, they don't even know my name." And you may be right. Everybody may not know your name. Hey, but there's a God in heaven. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows where you're sitting. He knows what you face. He knows what you battle. And He's on your side. He's not against you. He's for you this morning. Amen. God was concerned in verse number 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." You say, "Preacher, why was He doing that?" He went looking for Adam and Eve. He went looking for them. God knows His folks this morning. He knows His children this morning. He knows those that are His this morning. And God went looking for them. And can I say to you this? It won't charge you nothing for it. But God always comes first. He is the one that always comes looking for you. Don't you ever think you went looking for God. I don't have enough in me to go looking for God. God always comes looking for you. God always starts knocking on your door. God always starts knocking on your heart. You said, "Oh no, there was one day that I thought that I needed to be saved and I'd just be saved." That thought didn't come from inside of you. That thought came from the Holy Ghost of heaven. That Holy Ghost started knocking on your heart's door. That Holy Ghost started running through your veins. It started running up one side and down the other, letting you know that you was lost and you was in need of a Savior. That thought didn't come from you, but it come from heaven. Can I say it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? It's the goodness of God that leads us down that road. It said that God was concerned. He came to Adam and Eve. They didn't come to Him. I don't know about you, but that excites my heart and that does me good to know that the God of the universe, God of heaven, would be concerned about Adam and Eve, to be concerned about their situation. This morning, I want to say to you, you're in this place for a reason this morning. It is for you to know that God is concerned about you. It doesn't matter what you go through, what will go through in your life this coming up week. God cares about you and He is concerned about you. He wants all in your life. He wants in everything that you do. He wants in your family life. He wants in your friends that you have. He wants in your finances. He wants in every part of your life. He don't want to be the co-pilot. He wants to be the pilot. He wants to be the one that runs your life. He don't want you to come to Him when you're just in need. He wants you to come to Him every day of your life. I want to say to you this, God will come looking for you right where you are. You say, preacher, do I need to clean up? Do I need to get right? Do I need to act right? Do I need to do right? No, my friend. All you got to do is let God come into your life. Let Him take up residency. Let Him come inside of you. And can I say, when He does, He'll make a change in your life. He said, why did He go? Why did the Spirit of God go walking in the cool of the day looking for Adam and Eve? Because God was concerned about Adam and Eve. Look at this, if you will. I thank God this morning that He's concerned about me and He is concerned about you. God knows His folks and He always comes first. Can I say to you, when God was concerned, He wasn't anxious, He wasn't worried, He wasn't uptight. The Bible says that He came walking. Hey, our situation does not move God. What we got going on, He don't wring His hands and say, I can't believe they got that going on. God never died for the storms that are in your life. He died for you. Can I get an amen? When Jesus bled and died on the old rugged cross, He didn't die for the storms that you're going to go through. He died for the one that is in the storm. I see in verse number 8, God was concerned. And the Lord heard the voice. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And when they got there, I want you to get this. God wasn't only concerned about Adam and Eve, but God was and is calling them out. God was only concerned, but He's calling. Have you ever thought about that? Not only was He concerned, He knew they messed up. He knew they had messed up. You said, no, He didn't. Yes, He did. There's nothing God don't know. Oh, God. I don't know about you, but that does me good. Every idle word I think, every idle word I say, God knows. You said, preacher, I don't know. Yes, sir, He does. Nothing catches Him off guard. Nothing catches Him anyway. He knows it all. He was concerned in verse number 8, but also God was calling in verse number 9. Can I say, when God gets concerned about you, He'll start calling you? I don't know about you. There's been times that I have rode down the road with my family and my wife be talking up a storm. Amen. Y'all don't got one of them? You ought to get you one. And she'll say, okay, maybe I just got one. And she'll say, did you hear what I said? And I say, repeat it one more time. Repeat it one more time. And she'll say, are you going to listen this time? And I say, I'm going to listen this time. Can I say to you, when God gets concerned about you, He'll start calling you. And I don't believe He'll just, I've heard preachers say all the time, and I've said it myself, that He may just call you one time. Son, let me tell you something. He called me many times. I was hard-headed, stupid, stubborn, stinking flesh, didn't want nothing to do with Him, thought my way was the right way, thought my way was better than His way, but He kept on knocking. He kept on beating. He kept on calling. You say, was it that hard? I can't beat on it as hard as He's beating on my heart. That Holy Ghost is beating on the inside of me. I knew I needed to get right. I knew I needed to do what He called me to do. But listen to me, I'd run just as far as I could. But I want to say to this, when you get to that place in your life and the Spirit of God gets concerned about you and He gets calling on you, He'll call you in your life. Look what He said in verse number 9. Man, I get just so excited what the Spirit of God can do. And here's what He said in verse number 9. Get this with me. Let's look at Bible. God was concerned, but God was also calling. And the Lord God Himself called. He called unto Adam. The Lord God Himself called unto Adam. You say, preacher, does He still call today? Yes, He does. He still calls you by name. He knows your name. Your name, He knows your name. There's a God in heaven that, no, man, if I can get anything to you today, God knows your name. I can't stand when I run into somebody and they say, you remember my name? And I'm like, I can't think of it. But you know what? God knows my name. And that day He called me, and I was in that church, August 27, 2007. Man, I was the only one got saved that night. There were people everywhere. But listen, I don't know who all else he was calling that didn't answer, but I know he called my name that night. He was concerned about me, and he knocked on my heart's door. The Spirit of God knocked on me, and he said, I'm calling your name. Adam, where art thou? Adam, where are you at? This morning he may be calling your name. Brother Calvin, where are you at? Brother Austin, where are you at? You say, does he holler that loud? If you're going to call somebody, you're going to get their attention, amen. Man, look what he said. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Man, woo, I just got to calm down. And the Lord God called unto who? Adam. Adam. He didn't walk up there and say, Adam, hon, are you around? No. Adam. No. Adam. No. He called like my mama called when I was a kid. Mama said, you can go play with the neighbors, go far as you want to go, but you better not go out of hollering reach. We live in Detroit, we'd play in Hamilton. Hello, everybody got a mama like that? You can go where you want to, but you better be in hollering reach. And boy said, how far are you going to go? Let's go to Hamilton, Gwin. Hey, my mama get us over there. Hey, somebody this morning, you playing where you ain't supposed to be playing. You playing with things you ain't, oh, glory to God. You're playing with things you ain't supposed to be playing with. You know I'm telling you the truth this morning. You know I'm telling you the Spirit of God's been wearing you out. He's been wearing you up one side and down the other. And you think it's the preacher. You think it's your spouse. You think it's your children. You're blaming it on everything. And it's the Spirit of God. And he's calling your name. He is calling your name because he's concerned about you. He's saying, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where are you at? You ain't where you're supposed to be. Adam, we used to walk together. Adam, we used to talk together. Adam, you used to love coming to church. Adam, you used to love to pray. Adam, you used to love to read my Bible. But where are you at now, Adam? Adam, where are you at? Adam, you used to love to preach the gospel. And where are you at now? Adam, you used to love to sing my praises. But where are you at now? You ain't sung a special in years. Adam, where are you? Adam. Adam. Bo Black, where are you? David Whitaker, where are you? I can't tell you how many men have stood in this church and told me, said, preacher, you hold me accountable. You get in my face. You see me walking the wrong way, you get in my face. And when they're under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, they mean what they say. But when they start walking the wrong way and you say, hey, bud, you don't need to be doing that. They get fighting mad, walk out the back door. And you say, but you told me to hold you accountable. But you told me. Who was holding Adam accountable? God was. God was. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to let God hold you accountable? Adam! Adam, where are you? Adam, Bradley Hush, where are you? Where are you? Look what he said here. He was calling. Where are you? Wasn't where they're supposed to be. I wrote this down. When a person messes up, the first thing they want to do is backslide and hide. Boy, ain't that the truth. You know why God called Adam? So Adam would confess. If God never knocked on your heart, you'd never confess a sin in your life. You'd hide it to the day you die. And I'm talking to somebody this morning, you say, I'll go to my grave with it. Unless you confess it, you're exactly right. You are going to your grave with it. Let me move on. I done got too excited in here. He said in verse number 9, Adam! And he said unto him, where art thou? Man, I just want to hang out with you. I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. You know what Ryder tells me, Bradley? He says, you my buddy, daddy. I said, you doggone right, son. I'm your buddy. You doggone right. He'll say, daddy, we done it, didn't we? I said, you doggone right, we done it, buddy. I give him that thumbs up. So, preacher, there's going to come a day. No, I ain't worried about that day. Right now, we're in harmony. We're in fellowship. Oh, Adam, he's concerned. He's calling. God called Adam. But can I say to you, when God calls you, he'll always confront you. Don't you think, don't you listen to them preachers that say, you listen to me, we got a God that confronts. He don't let things just go on. He's that concerned about you. He'll call you and he'll confront you. You say, ain't the God I serve. Well, you ain't serving Jehovah. He'll get in your face. He ain't scared of you. He ain't scared of me. You say, why will he get in your face, preacher? I've been bought with a price, and he bought me. He has the authority to tell me what to do. Look what he says here in verse number 11. Man, I'm just having such a good time. Verse number 11. Look with me. He'll confront you. Sometimes he'll use people to confront you. You get mad at him. You get upset at him. Sometimes he'll use people. And he said, here's what he asked. Let's look at verse 10. He said, I heard thy voice. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. He said, Lord, I heard your voice. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're hearing it right now. Woo! I was afraid because you done read my mail. Lord, I was naked. Woo. He said, I heard that voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. That means I've done been exposed. You done know way too much on me. And I hid myself. First time somebody messes up, you know what the first thing they're going to do? They're going to hide. They're going to hide themselves. Then they're going to blame somebody else. Look what he said. And he said, who told you? He talking about being concerned. He talking about confronting. And the Lord said, who told you you was naked? Who told you? He said, I want to know who told you. Who told you that you had done messed up? Who told you? I wrote this down. I'll share it with you. Nobody has to tell me. I know. But Satan will remind you every time you fail. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Adam was ready to blame someone else. Look in verse number 11. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I command thee that thou should not eat? And here's where he wanted to blame somebody else. Now he ain't talking to the man down the road. He's talking to God. Oh yeah. And he had a comeback. And you do too, and I do too. When I mess up, I try to reason with God sometimes. Look what he said in verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. He said, Lord, you know that woman you gave me? It's Bible. Lord, I'd have never messed up if you wouldn't have gave me her. Does that not sound like he's trying to blame somebody else? Lord, if you would have put her in my life, we'd still be right. Listen, don't you blame nobody because you're away from God this morning. Don't you blame nobody because you backslidden and hid this morning. Don't you blame your wife. You know how many men blame their wife? You know how many men and women blame their children? The reason they ain't in the house of God and doing what God's called them to do and they're running, backslidden and hidden. You know why? Because they don't want to take ownership. Talking to somebody this morning. He said, that woman that you gave me, what he says? Verse number 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou done? And guess what the woman did? Nobody takes ownership. When the Spirit of God shows up in a place like this right here, and he starts knocking on your heart's door, boy, I wish so-and-so was there. They need to hear this message. If that ever crosses your mind, that message is for you and not for so-and-so. Just a little nugget there. And she said, hey, he blamed it on the woman. And here's what the woman said. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I want to finish with this morning, talking about the Spirit of God. It's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by the Spirit of God this morning. God was concerned about Adam and Eve. God was calling Adam and Eve. God was willing to even confront them. He may be calling somebody this morning to confront you. He said, preacher, why? Why? Why does God do that? Because he cares about you. Just because he cares. Just because he cares. Everybody in this room, you ought to have somebody that'll get in your face. If you ain't got nobody, you need to find you somebody that'll get in your face. That's a true friend. That's a true friend. A true friend will say, man, you don't need to do that. A true friend say, you don't need to do that. A true friend say, that ain't right. A true friend cares. You said, why? How did he care about them so much? How did the God of heaven care about them so much? Because they was created in his image. Why does he care about you this morning, Brother Hagin? Not because your name's Hagin. Not because you married to Natalie. It's because he formed you. He created you. He breathed life into you. And then one day years ago, spiritually, he breathed life into you again and saved you according to your testimony. According to your testimony. And he cares about you. And he cares so much about you, man, that he called you. And he's willing to confront you when you ain't doing right, right? You know it. I know it. Nobody got to tell me. So how does he care that much, preacher? He cares so much about you that he'll cover you up. They took leaves, tried to cover themselves. They took leaves and tried to cover themselves. He said, that won't work. You can cover up. Hey, there's a lot of stuff you can cover up with leaves. There's a lot of stuff you can cover up with leaves. But you can't cover sin up with leaves. You know why? Because leaves leave. You can cover a lot of stuff up with leaves. But you can't cover sin up. You can't cover mistakes up. You got to own up. Allow the blood of Jesus Christ. Take the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. You said it took blood in the Old Testament. It took blood the whole time. I told them Wednesday night, I went back to the heart doctor. They changing all kind of medicine. The little old nurse, she went in there and she stuck that in there and got that blood out. I said, did I see the doctor today? She said, everything we need to know about you is in the blood. This morning, everything that the Lord needs to know about you is in the blood. Let me show you this in closing this morning. Maybe this morning, you say, preacher, I'm just not where I need to be. And the Spirit of God has showed me that. Look in verse 21. Verse 21 of your text, the Spirit of God, what God did. Unto Adam, also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. God cares about you so much to cover you. He cares about you so much that he'll even clothe you. Never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He covers you. He'll clothe you, and he cares enough to even call you by name. He doesn't mess up. He calls you by name. So my question to you this morning is the Spirit of God saying, so-and-so, where art thou? So-and-so, where you at? Where you at? If I ain't been to see my mama in a day or two, she'll call me. And I know when she calls. You ain't been down in a day or two. Yeah, I know, Mom, been busy. Yep. Yeah. All right. You need anything? Nope. Love you. Love you. Bye. Click. So what you do? Wait two or three more days to go check on her, see her? No. That means get your tail in the truck and get down here now. I don't need nothing. I just need to see your face. I don't need a thing. I just need you to drink a drink with me and not talk about nothing. Maybe this morning, you just ain't where you used to be. And God's saying, come on. Where you at? Where you at? Where you been? What's got you so busy that you don't want to spend time with me? What's in your life's got you so wound up you don't want to spend a little time with me? And it could be because when you spend time with him, he gets all up in your business. And our flesh loves to be pleasured. It does. Flesh loves to be pleasured. But let me tell you, the only thing that will take care of your spirit is the blood of Jesus Christ. Where you at this morning? Sister Denise comes and her singers come. Where you at this morning? I want you to ask yourself that. As I got reading in Zechariah about the Spirit of God, the first thing he prompted me to was the book of Genesis. I mean, it prompted my spirit just, what that spirit will do, how that spirit will go looking for you. That spirit, you say, preacher, I tell you what, man, I ain't felt the spirit in a long time. Go back to where you used to feel the spirit. Get back to where you used to feel it. Where you used to know the spirit of God was pumping in your veins. You used to know, man, I can't wait to get there. You get, he's going to be right there where you left him. He's going to be right there where you dropped him off. He's going to be right there calling you this morning. Where you at? Spirit of God saying, where you at this morning? You're so close. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. Father, I thank you for your spirit that's in this place. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord God, that you would move on us. That, man, Father, how you just, it's the goodness of God. It's your goodness that leads us to repentance. Father, this morning, I just pray for that Christian that knows they're saved, but they've lost that joy of their salvation. Father, that they would flood this old-timey altar and they'd do business with an old-timey God. You've not changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change, Father. Just as you did Adam and Eve and you confronted them because you cared about, you confront us and you care about us. Lord, for that one that's lost and they know they are, Lord, won't you move on them this morning? Lord, won't you just move on them? Won't you save them? Lord, break down any wall that would be in their life this morning through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Have your will and way in this service. And we'll do our best to be so careful to give you all the honor and the glory. It's in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, I ask you to stand.